All right, thank you, folks. You ever heard the statement, give them an inch, they take a mile? Well, I was talking about that thing there in California where the church is told not to sing. When you start surrendering your freedoms, it don't stop. It just snowballs. One right after the other will follow. It'll do it every time. Revelation chapter 7. Yes, I'm going to try to move into chapter 7 this morning. I know I've been moving slow through the book of Revelation, but some of you have been listening slow. And I find teaching the book of Revelation, the hardest part is to keep the crowd. You have to review to keep everybody going along with you. Now, you could solve that problem if you just all be here all the time. See, so it's not all my fault, amen. All right, and I know there's a lot of folks faithfully listening on the radio, and we appreciate that. Some folks have other illnesses, and they're being super careful, and that's their right. Somebody said something about, tell the church to do this, tell the church to wear a mask. I said, hey, the church is free. Got no business telling them that, amen. You make your own decision. You're an adult. Some of you make it anyway. A lot of your decisions I don't like. But the truth of the matter is, let's be free Americans. Amen. And be careful about this business of what you surrender. Watch out for it. I did hear, I believe it was Vice President Pence, and I certainly agreed with him. One of the reporters was trying to get him with one of those gotcha questions, you know, that they do. Set a trap. They did Jesus the same way. Do you know that? I mean, what you talk about listening to Jesus in his personal life, that would be equivalent to some of the press. So what the press is doing today, only they called them Pharisees back then. Same crowd. But anyway, they were trying to trap him. They were asking him gotcha questions. And they're still doing that today. You gotta watch out for that stuff. And he was asking Vice President Pence, though, some questions about basically clamping down on the churches. And he just basically told them, said, we still have constitutional rights in the time of a virus. We have not suspended the Constitution. We still have our constitutional rights. And he is certainly right on that. But the more you surrender, the more they'll take. Better understand that, folks. All right, so what's that got to do with chapter 7? Well, we're heading that way. We're heading that way. And the more freedoms we give up in America, the more the Antichrist kingdom is moving in. And the time will come that you won't have the right to buy or sell unless he condones it. Gives you his number. Amen. I want to see if I can get a truth across here. Now, we remember, the Lord's caught up to heaven in chapter 5. In chapter 6, he takes the seven-seal book off the throne. He's the only one worthy to open it because of his shed blood. In chapter 6, he starts opening the seals. We go down to where he's opened the sixth seal, finally, by the time we get to the end of chapter 6. But now there is a pause. What we would call chapter 7 is a parenthetical chapter. It means that all of a sudden the chronological order is interrupted, it's put on pause, and then this thing that takes place in chapter 7 is parenthetical. When we get to chapter 8, then you'll find the seventh seal in verse 1 of chapter 8 being open. Now, I thought, how can I get an illustration across? And you've heard me talk about the old-fashioned telescope. I got one for Christmas when I was a kid. And it had about three sections to it, three or four. It was a big old one. And you could open it out, and then you could open it out, and then you could open it out again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you could close it all up, and it contained the whole thing. I thought of something when we were over in Russia. Brother Lee, you remember this, and some of you was over there. You know, you buy whatnots and things, or somebody gives you something to bring back. One of the things they gave me was a doll, a little carved out doll, about 6 inches maybe long. It was of the doll was an image picture of Gorbachev. I mean, Gorbachev. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. He was the leader at that time. And I kind of nicknamed him Garbage Head. But anyway, they gave me one. Now, it was just one doll. But if you took it apart, there was another doll in that doll. And if you took it apart, there was another doll inside of that doll. And finally, it got down to the last doll was about an inch tall. Well, if you think on the book of Revelation as the seals are open, you'll understand what I'm saying. You got the whole container. When we get to the end of chapter 6, we are actually, far as chronological order, all the way at the end of chapter 19. But now we're going to open up the doll. We're going to open up the telescope. We're going to have a chapter here in chapter 7 that's parenthetical. It means at the same time this other stuff was happening, something else was happening. Can kind of get a hold of that. We write a sentence and we put a parenthesis in it. I'm bad at that. I'm not a good writer anyway, but I'm in the midst of a sentence think of something else I want to say. So I put parenthesis. You know what those half moon marks that you have in English? Little boy went with his aunt out to Texas and he'd been studying English pretty good, and they got off the train and saw all those bow-legged cowboys walking by. He said, "Hark, Aunt, look at all those men with their legs in parentheses." Now, that's what we understand what a parenthesis is and how it works. Well, here we are in the parenthesis in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. So we ended up under the wrath of God at the end of chapter 6 with the men of earth, high and low, calling for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Boy, I find it interesting today how that they think they're above God ever dealing with them. But it don't take but just a little bit for them all of a sudden to fear God again. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Chapter 7, verse 1, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." Now, a tree is only something that tells you the wind's blowing. You understand that? Like a flag or something else. You see, we feel the wind. We see the result of the wind, but we don't see the wind. We don't actually see the wind. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 3 when he was explaining the new birth to Nicodemus. He was saying you see the results, but you don't see it. He's talking about the birth of the Spirit, the new birth, being born again. Now, notice something here. Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, I've had skeptics say this. I had a little radio program. Kevin, you remember. Good to see Brother Kevin Mann here this morning. He started out with us very, very early. And we had a little 15-minute radio program on Sunday morning. I thought we were really high tech because we'd got a phone line into the pulpit. And instead of having to go to the radio station, I could walk out here and speak. Boy, I thought that was great. Boy, that's way behind now. I can imagine that. But anyway, now what we're saying, if people want to, they can pick it up almost all around the world. Brother Kevin tells us about listening to us out in Texas and stuff. Anyway, I had that little 15-minute program, and I tried to make it a question and answer thing, and I'd ask folks to write in questions, and we got some written in. Sometime I didn't have a one, so I had to be the ghostwriter and write my own question. So that's cheating. No, that's the way I did it. You do it your way. But anyway, I remember one of the questions. Skeptics are out there, see, wanting to trip you if they can. The gotcha questions. So this verse right here, verse 1 of chapter 7, they say, the Bible's not right. Standing on the four corners of the earth, they think the earth is square. No, that's not what the verse says. It very quickly identifies holding back the winds. Don't we have the winds coming from four different directions? The corners, four corners of the earth. We'll talk about the northeast wind or the southeast wind or whatever. Sure, common sense. People that want to try to find something wrong lay their common sense down and make such an accusation as that. Oh, by the way, we still use that terminology. Have you ever been to the post office and seen the big sign up there where they're trying to recruit young men for the military? I've seen a sign, I think, for the Marines, maybe for the Navy. It says, we serve on all four corners of the earth. Now, do they think the earth's square? No, they're talking about four directions. Four directions, just like this verse is talking about here. And so here we got some angels. They are holding the winds that they should not blow. Well, by the way, we'd really miss that. Did you know it? Now, in the old days, they'd miss it with the sail ships, but we'd still miss it today. We still miss it in Florida when we can't get a breeze once in a while. Good thing about Florida is most of the time we got a breeze over some of the others, and we sure do need it in the heat and humidity. But we understand what the verse is talking about. And I saw another angel. All right, if it was four holding four winds, this would be a fifth one. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. By the way, we take the trees for granted, but they're important too. They can tell us, science can tell us today how important they are. I joke sometime about the environmentalists being tree huggers and all that kind of stuff, but it plays a part, plays a part. The greenery certainly plays a part. I'm not going to get into that except to say, here this angel is told, hold back the judgment, hold back the hurting of the earth, hurt not the earth nor the sea until we do something. What are we going to do? Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, if you were to, maybe we can do it. I'm not marked over there. You want to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 9. Go back, hit Ezekiel. If you get to Jeremiah, you went back to the left too far. If you went to Isaiah, you went way too far. Come on back to the book of Ezekiel. And we pick it up in chapter 9 and look at it about, I think, about verse 4. Verse 4. And the glory of the, I'm going to read verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel was going up from the cherub, whereof he was, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Now here's a fellow, if you could see him, he's got something to write with. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, what's God saying? He said, there's a certain group of men that feel like I feel about this, that hate this sin. I want them marked. The Antichrist is coming in with a mark, Revelation chapter 13, but he's a counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. God does some marking also. And according to what we're reading here in Revelation chapter 7, God is telling the angel to mark some folks. So the Antichrist is a counterfeiter. You'll read, and we'll read about the 144,000 that are sealed here. And God knows them. The Bible tells us God knows those that are his. Do you ever think nobody knows and cares about me? Well, if you know the Lord, he knows you. He cares about you. He's got the hairs of your head numbered if you got in here. If you got a few, he's still got them numbered. Amen? And he just knows all about you. Amen? And so one fellow said, I'm glad it's only God knows about me because he don't gossip like everybody else. But there you go. So here we see in chapter 7, a parenthetical chapter, something going on. I heard the number of them. It's kind of like on pause. Hold it a minute. Want to seal these folks. So in verse 4, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 Jehovah's Witness. Oh, I read that wrong. Let's go back and read it again. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. No, they're not the Watchtower Society. They're not any cult or ism. Watch out when folks start putting themselves in the scripture and they don't belong there. By the way, there was a time they could say we're the 144,000, and maybe folks couldn't know this, but then their numbers grew past the 144,000, way past it. So they had some explaining to have to do, of course. I like to tell this every time I come across this scripture here, though. Listed now, God is going to seal 12,000 from 12 tribes. 12 times 12 is still 144, even in new math, I think. It certainly was in the old math. 144,000. Now, from 12 tribes. Had funeral here recently, Brother Braxton Rayburn. He was a man, got saved here in our church. And God called him to preach, went to our college and served the Lord, soul winner, bus. He was actually a product of being won off the bus ministry. Basically, he came here and got saved, but he got under conviction with a faithful bus worker knocking on his door every Saturday morning. Braxton told me, he said, I'd go to the door with the biggest hangover from being drunk the night before. And he said, I hated that bus worker to come wake me up when I could get another hour of sleep. But you know what? God used that bus worker's testimony over and over, faithful in leading in Braxton's getting saved. Anyway, Braxton learned the Word of God. I don't mean he just knew it a little bit. I mean, he literally wore out Bibles. Instead of watching TV at night, he read his Bible. I don't know if I've known anybody that went through it quite as thoroughly and quickly as he did. He knew it well. And in these verses right here, the 12,000 from 12 tribes of Israel, he was telling me one Saturday, I believe it was, that the so-called Jehovah's, by the way, we all ought to be witnesses for Jehovah, but not in the cult I'm talking about. And he said one of them knocked on his door and was telling him about this, that, and the other. By the way, their fault is they don't believe that Jesus was God. That's the trouble. You understand that? I had one of them tell me one time, well, Jesus was just a little boy kind of following God around. No, he was God incarnate. He was the Savior. He was the sin bearer. He was a substitute for you and I. And without him, you're not going to go to heaven. That's all there is to it. But anyway, Braxton said he knocked on the door and engaged with them that morning and said they started this business of 144,000. And they've been asked this before. They know how to talk back at us Baptists. But anyway, he said, well, I read my Bible where it's 12,000 from 12 tribes of Jews. Are you a Jew? Yes, sir, Jehovah's Witness. Are you a Jew? If you're in that 144,000, are you a Jew? The guy said, yes, I am. Well, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? I said, yes, I am. But Braxton wasn't through. Braxton says, okay, from which tribe were you in? And the guy still wasn't true. He'd been down that road before. He said, I'm of the tribe of Dan. Braxton said, let's read it. The tribe of Dan is missing. And it is. You got to know your Bible to know why. When Jacob was on his deathbed in Genesis 49, he called all the 12 boys around and prophesied about them. He said, Dan is like a serpent biting the horse's heel. Dan had committed to sin, got himself rejected. And you'll find that Joseph's boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, gets in there. And so when you go by the list right here, Dan is missing. Let's look at it just a little bit. We'll see who comes in as a substitute. Verse 5, and of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Here we go. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Levi is the one that's pushed in here to take Dan's place. And the tribe of Levi is basically the priestly tribe of Israel. But God put a curse here on Dan and took him out of the list. So don't tell somebody you're of the tribe of Dan. I won't get into it any deeper. Kevin's here, and I know he certainly knows this, but there's a good chance the Antichrist is coming out of the tribe of Dan. I'm not going to open my can up any further, but it's a good study, there. And you find a lot of things in the Bible right between the cracks sometime. Goes on, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph is one of the substitutes here, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now, I like the next verse. Now, 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. Now, I've got to remember where we're at. We're in the tribulation period now. These men, later on, will be called virgins. And it means speaking of their purity. And they will be the preaching evangelists in the tribulation period. We remember that Romans chapter 11 tells us that blindness in part is come to Israel. They don't know who the Messiah is. As a nation, many individuals have accepted him, but as a whole, the nation still rejects Jesus as the Messiah. But he's going to come back. The book of Zechariah says they're going to say, "Where'd you get the wounds in your hands and your side?" And he's going to say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." They're going to receive him. Then they're going to preach him. And 12,000, 144,000 evangelists. Some of the best evangelists we've ever seen were converted Jews. Remember some of them? I mean, God really used them. Paul, start would be the best, wouldn't he? He got converted on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And boy, when he got a hold of the truth, he knew the Old Testament. He knew the law. He knew the priestly stuff. I think he probably wrote the book of Hebrews. And the truth of the matter is, no greater than the Apostle Paul. And yet, even in our day and time, there's been some evangelists that were Jews. Many of them got disowned from their family because they got saved. But God used them. He's going to use them mightier than ever in the tribulation period. 144,000 of them preaching. I mean, that's going to be something. You talk about conversions. We'll look at it in verse 9 right here in the same chapter. And after this, after what? After these 12,000 from 12 tribes. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people. That's worldwide stuff, folks. All kindreds and people, nations, and tongues, that's languages, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. You remember we studied the word white there just a little bit. The white robe in the book of Revelation is referred to as the righteousness of the saints. These are going to be converts of the 144,000 right here, and it's going to be a great multitude. Now, you say, well, you keep preaching that if you don't get saved and Jesus come, you're going to be lost. Yes, if you've heard the gospel and said, no, that's your case. If you've rejected the gospel today, you won't get a second chance. But there'll be multitudes on planet Earth that will respond to the 144,000 Jews, just like the Apostle Paul was converted. He's a good picture of how the nation of Israel will be converted in the end, and they'll become the preachers. And a great multitude. Oh, they'll pay a price for it because the Antichrist is going to be in power by now. They'll pay a price. They may pay with getting their heads chopped off, many of them, because they will not take his mark and worship him. But with all that said, a great multitude will be saved in the tribulation period. But please let your friends you're witnessing to know they don't have a second chance. It's yes or no to Jesus in this grace age. God even promises a judgment to come for those that reject the gospel now. He says he'll send a strong delusion on them that they'll believe a lie. Brother, we are seeing the lies published today all kind of ways. I had labeled the news fake news long time before President Trump ever got elected. Many of you had. It is so biased, so slanted, so false, so much of the time, with a great big agenda behind it. It won't change. what we're seeing now will reach its perfection under the man that is called the lawless one, the Antichrist. He's called the lie. He's called the man of sin. What you're seeing building now is going to be totally fulfilled under the Antichrist and his kingdom. Oh, man, you think it's bad now? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Anyway, a multitude's going to get saved on the preaching of these Jewish evangelists. Now, God's going to supernaturally preserve them some, but many of them are going to be killed. He still does that today. There's missionaries that go in and come out alive, and there's missionaries that go in and give their life, become martyrs. That's going on today. It'll go on in the tribulation period too. It says in verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Capital L on the Lamb, talking about the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a glorious time when God sees Israel turn back to him. And he calls 12,000 from 12 tribes. By the way, somebody says the tribes are lost today. No, they're not. God knows where they're at. He knows where they're at. And he's still got a job that he's wanting them to do. We're pro-Israel. Part of the president's hate against him. And it's about a lot bigger and bigger part of the conspiracy than you might think today is the fact that as soon as he got elected, he recognized Israel and moved the embassy. And they've hated him for that one big time, big time. All right, I believe my time's up. You got a report here?